Magazine's Grapple fans, and welcome to the final installment in this month-long series of March Mania, the podcast series in which myself, you let me tell you something, co-host Lorcan Mullen, and the Eric to my Ivar,
Mr. Simon Cross,
discuss a match from the wide history of WrestleMania, from the earliest show to the latest show, depending on what our third guest chooses. And we're going as late can be with this one, basically, Simon. Where are we, when are we, and what is on the line?
So the date is April 1st, 2023. It is WrestleMania 31, Night 1.
39, you said.
39, sorry. Night 1. I was too focused on the ones. I fluffed me lines.
31, but Night 9.
I mean, never rule it out. Never
it could one it day.
Yeah. We're in Inglewood at the SoFi Stadium, home of the LA Rams. We're watching a match between father and son, Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio. But, like I like to always do, I'm going to give you a bit of a cultural background to where we are.
Wow, let's wind back that DeLorean, Simon, see if we can remember that far.
Alrighty. So, both UK and US number one in the charts at this time is Flowers by Miley Cyrus.
I genuinely hadn't heard it until she did it at that awards ceremony a week ago. So I was shocked when I found out that was like a year old.
It's a McDonald's music energy. It's got McDonald's music energy. I spoke too soon, but...
No, that's a good... when observations like that need to be made, then what was at the box office, Simon?
Well, again, it's a tag team triumph as both the US and the UK are having mad love for John Wick 4.
There was no ladder match stunt that could match the stair stunt in that movie. Have you seen any of the John Wick, Simon?
No, I've seen clips.
Come on. Have you seen the clip I'm referring to there?
No, actually.
Well,
no.
We'll get to that at another point, but we do have to get this guest on right now because he's been very kind to give us his time and his choice of match because it was a lot of fun watching this one back. He is a comedian and a podcaster. Most importantly, a member of the Wrestle Club podcast. It's the one and only Ibs Sese. Ibs, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. How are we doing?
Doing pretty well, especially like I said,
good.
Really fun choice with this one. Ibs, we like to give some background with our guests as to what got them into wrestling, how long they've been into wrestling, and maybe some key moments and key memories, maybe WrestleMania memories. So can you just give us a little bit of a potted history of Ibs as a wrestling fan?
I think it started off, we had like a very interesting TV connection to like a cable. I don't know if it was legal or not, but that was the vibe. And at 10 o'clock, Cartoon Network used to just finish and TNT used to pop on. And usually the first thing I saw was like the Cartoon Network graphics bouncing and then the start of Nitro. And I was like, oh, this is a bit mad. So I'm like, let's continue watching. Saw Goldberg. Can't really remember the first match, but then from there, kind of hooked. And it was like in and out. And then I went back. First serious one was SummerSlam 2002. Worked my way backwards. Then worked my way forwards, and then we've been here ever since, man.
So there's never been a real drop off then ever since then. You've just it's been kind of like a part of your cultural diet, I suppose.
Maybe the top of the PG era. Mm. We got a bit jaded with it, and we came back around like uni when I got the network, like around 2013. And I was like, all right, we can be in and out. Yeah,
VPNs are a wonderful thing, aren't they?
Yes.
But yeah, Ibs, this was a really, really good choice you went for. So as we said, it was all blocks of four that we had, and you went for the most recent one. I mean, we literally couldn't go any sooner, as I was saying. Is there a particular reason why you wanted to pick this WrestleMania or this match? Was that around the time that Wrestle Club was, like, at least in the starting point of being talked about being a thing to get going, or...?
I think conversations were happening to start thinking about doing it. And yeah, I think we probably sealed it. Because I think apart from Richard, all four of us were there night one. I think conversation maybe would have been had and then we were leading to it. And then I think it was around about this time we came in and we started to watch that, like, this match. Because the entrance, the storyline. And I think, like, the evolution of Dominic's and Mysterio is something, like, to behold. And I think also, as starting to properly get into it in about 2005, like, as when we finally got Sky in the house.
Yeah.
Big day. So, and then, like, it was the Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio storyline with the custody of Dominic.
Mm,
And, like, it feels, I don't know if you guys are football fans, but, like, when you see a football player, from the academy, and you see him do bits, and they're like, we're retiring. We're like, what? It's like, kind of got that vibe. We've grown up and seen Dominic from this guy going like, are you sure, daddy? To like coming out in the ring, policeman, guarded up with the crosses. What? Like, tattoos everywhere. Like, you're like, this is what wrestling is, bro. Yeah. Like, it's like, we saw it. It's not like we had it with the idea of, oh, we knew about them like Charlotte Flair and then they just popped up. It's like we saw Dominic get older and older and older.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where we didn't feel him. We wasn't feeling it, but we're feeling it now. Like he's the man. Like,
well, again, Simon might have us both beat on this unless you also were at Clash at the Castle, Ibs, because you both saw the night of the heel turn as it was happening.
I have to put an asterisk against this, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I did, obviously, was at Clash at the Castle. Everything was fine. The six-man finished. So, and I went, oh, well, nothing's going to happen now. So I was off to get a Guinness, heard the cheer, and then I ran back to like the concourse bit and saw the screen where they replayed it. So I didn't see that bit live, annoyingly.
Was Edge's face still in that frozen?
Well, it was hard to tell if that was still the original shot or the replay in that sense.
So, Ibs, you're the actual proper wrestling fan. You saw this. What were your... Those memories are invalid. What are the valid memories of that moment? Because it had obviously been a long time coming.
But I still didn't think they were going to pull the trigger. Because, like, you know, guys, we know, like, WWE are WWE in it. And they haven't been WWE in for a while. But, like, we were like, surely they're not going to give us this. And considering now when we think about it, they had to give us something because both like local boys didn't win or both Celtic boys didn't win in the end. Yeah. So they had to give us something.
Yeah.
But we'd already been heartbroken once at that point because the Sheamus match was before that, wasn't it?
But yeah, I think what was so brilliant about that story as well is I did love Edge's look of just utter shock. And when you do get kicked in the balls, there is that part of you that's like, I can't believe this is happening to me because you were doing it. Or like, I remember Eddie Murphy did a great bit about like, if you just grazed your balls, it would take a few seconds. And you go, did that graze? You're in pain. But I think what was wonderful about this storyline is that, as you say, we followed Dominic throughout this time, but also this was at the peak of like people talking about Nepo babies, and at that point it really was a sense that Dominic is fine, but the only reason he is in this position is because he's got a Mysterio at the end of his name. And they played that up then throughout the rest of the storyline, and really they played that up that Dominic is a spoiled Nepo baby still to this day. Like, he's gradually working his way towards it. Like, I think weirdly the way he was booked against Gunther was to show him a little bit more heart underneath that they can gradually bring out of him. Mm-hmm. But I think, weirdly, the moment that kind of, not exposed him, but made people realise where he was, and there was a sense at this point that maybe he's not actually that good, and maybe not would never be that good, was the WrestleMania before, when Rey are involved in the tag team match against Logan Paul and The Miz. And Logan Paul, in one match, seems to have more natural charisma, more athleticism, and seems to be more fitted to being in the ring than the one that, in theory, was born into the business. And it's weird, I was thinking about this, like, is one of the reasons that characters like Dominic Mysterio or Vicky Guerrero or some of the people that get booed the most, Stephanie McMahon, are the ones that we kind of almost associate with them not being wrestlers. And weirdly, because they can't entertain us with a wrestling match, that's why people feel like they can boo them. It's like at the heart, I think people are like every wrestler.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they're worthy of getting their attention, even if they're entertaining them as a heel, like MJF or whatever. But with Dominic, I think it was that sense of, you don't belong here. And that might be where the booing was, at least to begin with. Now I think it's just, everyone just loves booing him. He got booed at his own wedding recently, didn't he? But I don't know, do you think there's something in that, Ibs, or am I reading too much into it, or what?
I don't think you are. I think there's like two sizes, I think. I think in one case, the way he was packaged, it was like Rey's son. You can never see Rey be a heel. Like, I'd love to see them do it. Like, him just be like, what? Rey? Like, I don't know it. Like, but I think they gave him the same energy. They thought, oh, the moves will do it. But I think we're at a time where the moves are not enough. You've got to have something else. And at the time, I think he was nervous. I mean, if your first company is the biggest company, like, that's the first place where you're cutting your teeth, and you're not even on NXT, it's because your dad's like, cool, there are levels of nepotism. I think he was trying his best. That's the best way to describe it. Like, yeah. I think if he was on NXT and he started off in NXT and he ended up coming to meet his dad, I think we would have a different story. Mm-hmm. But then him popping up from day dot in tag matches that he has no business with guys who have been like putting their cutting their teeth in, I do understand why people feel some type of way. And then maybe on another hand, it might be a bit of jealousy. Like, imagine like your dad was Rey fucking Mysterio.
But you're right, and I think it's very clever how they put him in NXT at the same time that he was on the main show as well. So he's like, I think they said like he's had the most matches of anyone in the WWE for the last year or so. So he is trying as best as he can to earn his stripes. And I think you're right also that he always has that trouble. It's always, it seems like every wrestler they do it with, that they debut them as a babyface, it almost never works. And when it really hits is when Rocky Maivia, the smiling guy, becomes The Rock, when Jungle Boy becomes Jack Perry more recently. Yeah. Like, there's always that sense of a massive weight coming off their shoulders and then being allowed to embrace the hostility, and then it ratchets up even more. And he's able to do things like that are unique to him, because he was just, again, like you say, he was kind of doing Rey Mysterio, not cosplay, because he didn't debut with the mask or anything, but he was doing Rey's moves. But Rey is a little 5'3" amazing athlete, whereas Dom's a slightly gangly 6-foot guy with not a very impressive physique, so he can't do the moves as well as Rey, but he also doesn't wrestle like a guy his size would normally wrestle, and a guy with his look wouldn't normally be on TV. And so, again, it's like the brilliant thing with him doing the like cowardly heel, the snotty brat son, the mullet, all of these things that Rey never did. At least, I think Rey did work as a heel in Mexico when he was getting started, so he does have that experience. But yeah, like as far as WWE TV, the filthy animals,
they had a bit of.
Yeah, there was a little bit of Dom in there as well.
Lovable rogues, more like lovable rogues, less like, heels.
Yeah, but I think for the entirety of his run in the WWE, the only time he ever got booed was when he came out at number 30 instead of Daniel Bryan for that Royal
Rumble. That was brutal.
That was the kind of, like, it's like, that's almost like Crusty the Clown. Tough crowd, they're booing Shakespeare.
Stone Cold said,
a bit like the 50 Cent meme when he's like, why fuck me for? Like, literally that.
Well, basically, that Stone Cold said on his podcast that he said that to Vince. It's like, why did you do that to Rey? What's he done? But I just want to piggyback on your point there, Lorcan. I saw Dom as being very much within himself as a babyface. He didn't really. It felt like he was wearing the persona of babyface. It wasn't him. His heel work feels a lot more like him. It's so natural. It's so easy. The scene at Thanksgiving with him and Rhea Ripley is cinema.
Well, however, this is my thing about this year. I watched it back recently and I was like, listen, I'd like, it's Thanksgiving, isn't it? Yeah. For all men to have some like level of like gratitude and give people a conversation, why didn't Rey let him in? Like, and be like, all right, let me make food for you and your mommy, let it be a bit awkward. Show that you're a bigger man. And I think if we're talking about like Thanksgiving movie star flex, I think they would have been a tag team and won a tag team title. Some shit like that. But he was moving a bit crazy. I think he was a bit annoyed because he didn't have his mask ready. I think that's maybe the original.
That was, that was such a good touch.
I wasn't ready.
That was such a good touch. Like, he knew that there was a camera there, so he had to go away and put them. I do love that he has, like, an emergency mask ready at all times.
Shit.
like the phone in the Batcave. The Batcave or something. It's like how they say every room that Prince's mansion was wired to record music. Every room in Rey Mysterio's house has a mask somewhere for him to grab.
See, I didn't know that, but that is peak Prince. That is pure Prince there.
But yeah, I do love those segments. And also that whole thing about Dominic Mysterio. And also with Rhea Ripley and the role she plays to perfection in that thing in throughout that whole storyline of like a teenage boy who's got his head turned by the local, you know, the tough girl, the mean girl. And that is what's great about like the group in general, the Judgment Day group, is that when they started off, they were like that Edge. It was basically meant to be like Brood 2.0, and they were like Edge had that throne and everything, and it didn't really work. And then they were told that Edge stopped wanting to do it because they wanted to go down a supernatural route. Yeah. So they replaced him with Finn Balor. But what's brilliant about the Finn Balor version is that Finn is not really the leader in any real, like, he doesn't boss them around. It's not like Triple H in Evolution. Just any of those sort of factions. There's always that nominal head figure. Figurehead, even, if to use the actual word. And
please continue, sorry.
But with the Judgment Day, there is always that sense of everyone's kind of antagonizing each other. Sometimes Rhea will give them like a tongue lashing, but it's not like, and so like, if there is a leader, it's her, but it's not made explicit. And they kind of raise each other's games by taunting each other when they've failed. That was the other brilliant bit, the Clash at the Castle. I guess you guys wouldn't have seen it in the crowd, but like when they cut to the Judgment Day, who've lost that match, but they've seen Dominic kick his dad in the kick Edge in the balls and clothesline his dad really hard. Again, that was another sign, like,
hard hit.
Dom, you are not a high flyer. You are a fucking Kenta Kobashi would be proud of that clothesline. But
Dom,
yeah,
was
like,
this is the one chance I could get him. This is the one chance I could get him.
Make me go to bed.
No repercussions. He was like,
yeah.
Boom!
But like, all the Judgment Day are is like a bunch of little trolls in the background just laughing their asses off. And that is kind of what the Judgment Day were, because I was thinking, what, are they going to turn them into like supernatural, you know, Undertaker, Bray Wyatt ripoffs? No, they're just like the sort of gothy emo kids at school that like think everyone's a sellout and keep telling their mom to stop bringing cookies to their bedroom when they're hanging out.
You know, you're very much channeling the kids at South Park. Yeah. Stand on the steps, aren't you? Here?
Conformists.
And their mums are truth. Yeah. Storylines, babe. No, mom. Unanimous.
But yeah, that whole inspired thing. And like Dominica's prison mic from The Office. When they did that whole thing, it was so brilliant. And they know that they just knew from the start they had something special there. Like, and from the start, like that Thanksgiving thing where he goes, I can't go to jail. And you know that it was just like fingerprints, mugshot of that, half an hour, Balor's bailed in with his Demon King merch money. And that's all. And he's just, I've been to prison. That changes him.
It was the little lines, like there was a line, I think they had to like drive somewhere or do something. And Dom's like, I've got this. I learned how to be a getaway driver in prison. How did you learn that?
I just think, you notice like his promos have got so much better since he got arrested. Like, because when he started, he was so quick. Like, I feel there's loads of wrestlers who start off with like Sasha Banks. Like, he didn't understand a word she said when she started. Yeah, like, but when you see him now, you're like, he knows what he's doing. And even with all like the booze, which we don't know if they're like piped in or not. I really hope not. Like, I'm really sad. Yeah, like, I really hope not. I'm praying. But you can see he still holds his own, because I think he just knows this is what it is. Will it stop, though? I don't know.
Yeah. I think that there is a great face turn for Dom in him, because usually every great heel will become a great face as well eventually. They have to hit it right. It has to be like him either saving his dad, or he and Ripley, Rhea, deciding to leave the Judgment Day behind, or whatever it is they decide to go with. But you've got a few years left in that still to come. He can ride that mullet out for as long as he needs to. But I did want to ask you that about that, Ibs, really, because we were talking to Danny and we were sort of asking him as a comedian how he rates comedy in wrestling. Like, if you compare it to just standard comedy, are we grading it on a curve? As a stand-up, do you think that you, not that you've got a better judge, but do you think watching people cutting promos, you like maybe you've taken lessons from that in your own stand-up? And do you also, even though they're not stand-up comedians, they're kind of stand-up drama,
Or like improvisers.
Monologuists or something. Do you think you could actually give, if a wrestler asked you for tips on cutting a promo, do you think you'd be able to like transfer some of your abilities in comedy? Or do you think they're to a stand-up and a promo are two completely different things?
The biggest connection we probably both have is the idea of like, if you feel nervous when you're on stage and you look nervous when you're on stage, everyone's gonna see it and feel it. And like, you don't have with us, we have like, if we've got like 5 minutes or like 10 minutes, we've got like the ability to warm ourselves into the room and get there. Whereas these wrestlers, it's like 40 seconds, bro. And if you're just like, I'm a fight The Undertaker, like, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, you're done. That's going to be a meme. It's finished. Like, the pressure's on, especially in these like bigger rooms. I think maybe places like your Independence, maybe there's, you've got more time to cut your teeth, build a rapport with the people who regularly come. Mm. Like when you're yelling at, when you're getting yelled at, you're like, fuck you, Simon, I ain't seen you. I've seen you 4 weeks. Like, it's more, they've got time to work with it, which is like more power to them, especially like especially the guys who really can do it well. Yeah.
Mm.
But because now, we're in a time now where your moves ain't enough. I think Rey Mysterio may just about be a good, like, a wrestler that everyone respects if he popped up now. And I think, which is crazy for me to think, but honestly, like, the only time we've really seen Rey, and we're like, we believe you, bro, has been with Eddie Guerrero and with this.
Which is,
like, a big, like, a testament to what these storylines brought out from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And, like, if you can't, like, Ray's a good enough talker, and especially when he's given, like you say, something he can sink his teeth to, like he had with the Eddie, and especially like he did with this one. I mean, the whole story, and I always love, usually pretty much every time they do a family-related storyline in wrestling, it's usually pretty easily accessible. Like, we did this thing, me and Simon, where we were saying, like, if you were to show someone a wrestling match to, if not just get them into wrestling, but just, like, explain to wrestling something you think they could get. My suggestion was the Bret-Owen match that opens WrestleMania 10. Yeah. Because it's a simple match. It's, everything's done perfectly well. It's 20 minutes, so it's not too long. But just the simple narrative. Bret's younger brother, jealous of his older brother. His older brother doesn't really want to wrestle him. But that's what led to this moment. He can't hold it back anymore, and so it's just an easily accessible thing. With this, everyone either has had a bratty brother, has encountered a bratty brother, is a bratty brother, or is the father to a bratty son, and so we can all just relate to that. There have been so many kids we see that we just feel like, I wish their dad would just give them Willow. Obviously, we're not condoning it.
That was the whole storyline, because like, it was, he cussed him out, he took the piss out of him. He threw drink on Aaliyah, his sister.
Yeah.
Listen, that's like, that was, and then the father went, shut up, Ma! It was like,
yeah, and that was such a perfect final straw. That's like, you can say whatever you like to me, you can do whatever you like to me, but you do it to your mum, you do it to my wife, that's the moment. That, and it's so perfectly told. That
the
story.
Way they catch his eyes widen, that camera shot is great, because Ray is just like, you, what? Straight in.
And what I love as well is that I think it is just Dom has kept challenging his dad because he knows his dad won't do anything about it. And you can either say that the way you can interpret it is that he pushes his mom because he knows this will be what finally gets him, me my match. But I read it as when he then shoves Dominic, and Dominic has fear in his lies, he's like, oh my God, my dad is actually going to fight me. I'm not going to be able to just, you know, it's like that Twitter troll who like was going after a boxer until the boxer got to his like street that he was on. And then he was like, okay.
I remember that.
So it's just like that dawning realization of just like, oh God, now it's come. And now he's had to psych himself up. I'll tell you what's another brilliant thing as well about the, because we were saying how they're very different physically, but it's a very obvious thing to say someone looks like their dad, but obviously there's not that many photos, but just seeing Dom when he comes out with the mask on, you realize he does have his dad's exact eyes at the very least, because in that moment it just looks like WCW 1997 Rey Mysterio Jr. coming out of that van. It was amazing. And that entrance in general.
The only annoying thing about the entrance, is like, we just needed the hood just to come off straight
pop
away.
Down.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as it did this, it kind of worked because it's Dom. Yeah. And we're like, Dom,
yeah.
But if he just came out with that,
I think it was like, it worked for us as the viewers, but the crowd, it took a little bit longer for them to see that he had the mask. Like you said, if the hood had gone off, perfect. I always say, like, with WrestleMania, I think more than anything for like the past 10 years, what I look forward to seeing are what they do with the entrances more than anything.
Mm.
And we've seen some of the great entrances. We did WrestleMania 12, Shawn Michaels coming up from the rafters at the top. top, I always say, like, I didn't care how the Rusev-John Cena match went. Just Rusev came out on a tank. That's all I wanted. That's all I needed.
That was
just
beautiful.
Exactly what it was going to be. And all of the Undertaker ones. I was thinking my favorite Undertaker one, I think it's 29, where there are those, like, hands reaching out to him from underneath.
That's my favorite as well, actually.
Do you have some of your favorite, like, do you have a favorite Undertaker entrance or just favorite WrestleMania entrances in general?
Oh,
and how important are entrances to you as well as a fan of wrestling? Like, how big is that for you?
I think the entrances are what make WrestleMania. Like, we want to make the small things the reason why we're up, like, especially us, if we're up till, like, half, flipping 4 or 5. Like, we want to see something good. Like, we want to be respected for our time in it. Obviously, John Cena with CM Punk on the...
That is a really good one.
I don't know why. It's always in my head. The saliva, Triple H, WrestleMania 18. Me cause the pain. And it's like, this is different. There's one that was in my head that popped out.
Another really interesting point you made about this, Ibs, is how little the moves are important to this match. And like Rey Mysterio, when he was coming up, he was the guy that was doing moves that we'd never seen before. It was like, how many different ways can I come up with a way to Hurricane Rana Psychosis? That was pretty much his trading card for like the first couple of years. With all these WrestleManias we've covered, Simon, how few of the things we're talking about are like even necessarily in the match itself? We're often talking about the entrance or the post-match angle, like Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, Shawn Michaels, the boyhood dream comes true. Like Hogan, Andre can barely move, so there's only so much you can do with the match, so it's just the spectacle of what you're seeing. Edge McFoley, I guess it is the moves more than anything, but it's just like the weaponry and the violence of it. Do you get where I'm coming from with those?
No, I do.
And I think this match is a perfect example of it. And it's interesting how they kind of front load a lot of the non-wrestling spots, the stuff with his mom and his sister and throwing the drink at her. And then there's like the craziness with Bad Bunny and everyone getting the LWO and everything at the end. But like you say, kind of that middle portion, there's some really fun spots, but it is like, it feels like the least important thing in this whole thing. If it had been just basically, instead of like 15 minutes, if it had just been like the first 5 minutes of like him spanking his son throwing a drink, and then just everyone getting involved, the Judgment Day and everyone, and then him finally getting his return, like... That middle portion is the stuff that just no one's ever going to really talk that much about.
I think what's disappointing about the match is, like, even though we do, like, respect Dominic as a performer, that could have been the opportunity where we respected him as a wrestler. So we could have been like, yeah, he's a chicken shit heel, but he does move it in. And he has shown that in extent. I mean, we're not saying that he's like, we're not talking like he's going to be the next one. Like,
no.
I remember let's talk about him winning title. Like, I'd love to see him winning Intercontinental. Right now, him with the big strap, it's not happening right now.
No.
But
NXT North American Champion is the right level for him at this point.
I think they're walking a tightrope with it. There's clearly enough there where they think it's still a good idea and we're going to roll with this beyond the character. Because they let him get beat up, but as Lorcan alludes to, it's like against Gunther, he's showing a little bit more and a little bit more. But they can't show too much too quickly, I think, because that's what makes him stand out. Because with a heel these days, like, everyone does cool moves. You stand out more by not doing that. And I think that really helps Dom because he started off being, look, I'm like my dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, we have your dad.
And the hundreds of wrestlers that grew up inspired by your dad that can do those acrobatics a bit better. Like, there's even one moment in this match where he kind of loses grip on his dad on an Irish whip or something. There's like a little moment where just suddenly they've got to feed each other their arms. And it's like, in those situations, it's not Ray that's at fault with these things.
Yeah.
And so, but that's also, again, a sign of like how so many people, what made Ray so special is that like, he did all these moves that everyone tries to do, but you watch Botchamania and you realize like the agility, the balance, the velocity, and working even with his size to be able to work. It's so funny, like when he started, one of the big problems with WWE was he's so small, like he can barely touch the top rope. And now, like when he runs the ropes, very often he'll do the dip and work off of the second and bottom rope instead.
Yeah.
And the other thing that amazed me about Rey Mysterio is the fact that he's still going at this age. Like the fact that Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy are not only wrestling, but still able to pull off at least some of the moves they used to do. When Ray gets his weight down, because he had to get so big when he came in 2002. But then when he came back and he's like slimmed down really much, and like his legs looked proper good, and he did like a, in the Puerto Rico show after this, he did like a spinning head scissors, I think, on Dom. And I was like, oh my God, that's like 25-year-old Ray. And he's, God knows how old now, and because with the mask, you can kind of hide that element of it. Wow! From him. But not having so a grown now, son,
there's grey hairs in the beard now.
Well, you can work around that if you have.
But to piggyback on like just the age thing, the knee surgeries. Yeah. How are we still doing this after that? That's insane.
I was amazed at that. Like those couple of years, he kind of took off. Remember, he was at the first All In, wasn't he?
Yes,
that's
he was.
Crazy as well. Like the, and he just come back and forth, and like you say, he's just a man with such goodwill.
And because Ray is Ray, I don't think anyone was mad at that. Like no. He could do Wrestle Kingdom and the Rumble in the same month, and everyone would be like, "Ah, oh, Ray, man,
that's right."
Is he like?
Don't do it again, man.
No, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like we know we've not got that many more years, but we've got the fact that we got to this point is incredible. The fact that he was able to go long enough to have a match at WrestleMania with his son. He was winning the world title 17 WrestleManias before this. At WrestleMania 22,
and John was in the crowd.
Yeah.
And now we're watching. Like he's just sitting there as like a 11-year-old. Like
it's insane.
Mid-card one day.
It's incredible. But I think he must be considered top 10 most influential wrestlers ever. Like I was saying, for my generation, I think the Ultimate Warrior was very often like the person that just grips a child's imagination, that visual of him. And I think Rey Mysterio was like that for the next generation. And also because he was kind of the size of a lot of these children as well. So that's why when I first saw them, when they first brought in his cat family and everything, I was like, it's kind of taking the mystery from Mysterio. There is meant to be like that element of, if I put on this mask, it's like Mike, if I put on those shoes, I'll suddenly be a great basketball player. Like, that mask is imbued with a superpower that makes me a great wrestler. And it's like, oh no, he's just a guy who's got a wife and two kids and a mortgage. You know, he's doing all this stuff for. But yeah, that's what's so... But like I said, like, how many people now come along? And I think he's still the measuring stick. Like, when we were saying, like, how great El Hijo del Vikingo is, how great Rey Fénix is. Like, very often it's like he's the best luchador since Rey Mysterio. I think after El Santo, maybe Mil Máscaras. I don't think there's any other luchador, I think, that has the long-term impact that Rey's, especially like outside of Mexico. He's probably the most important luchador. Yeah. Again, other than maybe Mil Máscaras.
For me, the thing that cements how important Rey is how many times they've tried to replace him and always go back to Rey.
Sin Cara
2.
Yeah. They're trying to do it with a little bit of Dragon Lee, which is all right. But yeah, it ain't no Ray in it. Like, Ray can't, like, I think no one's going to shut, like, and I think Ray deserves to leave whenever he wants to leave.
Yeah.
But no one's going to shine until Ray's not there.
Yeah.
And this segues perfectly to how Dominic got out of his father's shadow. Because if he was still trying to do that, he'd be dead in the water. He'd have gone by now.
I do think he should try to ditch almost everything that's to do with... Like, he still does the 619. And I get, like, it's a heat thing for now. But I do think when he makes that babyface turn, I would drop all that. Like you say, like, when he threw that clothesline, it's like, you're not a high flyer, mate. You're a fucking strong style lariating. Embrace what you have, which is that size and very punchable face. You're never going to put that mask on. Never inherit that mask.
I don't think... So we haven't got his, like, technical wrestler moment, which should have been this. But he does have, like, a Mick Foley, Randy Orton, or, like, Edge Mick Foley, sorry, moment where we're like, all right, he's a star. Maybe, like, a glorious failure or, like, some sort of... That's why, like, the Brock thing, if it did happen, would have been that would have been like, he's a star. Like,
I'd have loved to see how they got there. How do those paths cross? That would have been fascinating.
Dom did get his ass whooped by Brock, and like we could come out like maybe him coming into the ring and being like, yo, I'm the best wrestler in this goddamn building. Start off like that.
You're right, though. That would have been a great way to, like, maybe work towards his face then, if he'd had that match with Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar had, like, beat the shit out of him. But then, if at the end of it all, he, like, got up off of his own two feet and walked out, he can still have him as a heel, but it's just that sign of there is something inside of him that he's like, that thing inside of him has been turned to rage before, but if he can channel it right, and when he finally does do that virtuous thing, then maybe the crowd will be on top. But like you say, maybe when that goes away, maybe the specialness is gone because he's just a pretty good wrestler who's not as great as his dad is. But how many people are as good as their dad in any kind of like sport or anything along those lines?
When you think about it, it's like Randy and The Rock.
Mm.
Please smoke me on the comments for this.
You've got Roman Reigns as well.
Yeah.
You are right though. Like either the next generation.
Well, we didn't believe in Roman yet. We didn't believe in Roman until after during COVID.
No. He had to earn it. But we're there now.
He had to get his teeth. No, not because his teeth. Like maybe they put something in his teeth. And he changed, and he's like...
That trip to Turkey changed his life.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm much happier with the teeth than when they tried to make him a literal blue eye for a while. I do not know what was going on with that. Well, I have my suspicions, but I don't want to say it out loud.
But
I think you're right, he's kind of like a mid-card Roman Reigns, but I think it's also that problem with the other generations. You either need to be able to make that step up, because as big a stars as Peter Maivia and Rocky Johnson were, Rock was able to surpass them believably. And similarly, but other ones, like your David Sammartinos, your Eric Watts's, or Dustin Rhodes was only able to step out of his dad's shadow really with Gold Dust and doing something utterly different. And again, that's the thing, he's never going to be Ray. He can't be Ray, but he can be Dom. And so maybe, like I said, move away from the high flying, either embrace this shit heel or just find your own way. And he's going along that path. And like I said, like the goth kid, he's probably not really a goth kid, but you know, he just has the crush on the... And also, that was a very interesting point that they made sure that Rhea Ripley wasn't involved in this. I think because for the purposes of that event, they knew Rhea Ripley was essentially the baby face of the storyline she was in, so that's why they kept her away. Because you could, if it was going to be pure heel Rhea Ripley, like the Rhea Ripley going into this WrestleMania, well, again, she's not really a heel, but you know what I mean, it's all right for them to boo her. Then they could have had Aaliyah and Ray's wife, like, get her with a slap that she doesn't see coming, and that they hold her back from it or something. But like you say, for this one, they needed to keep her away and not. So I think again they did it that well. And then knowing what happened with the Latino World earlier, the month later at Puerto Rico as well, this was such a great build up to it as well. And Bad Bunny's involvement too, and setting up that match with Damian Priest.
I don't know. First off, with that pay per view, that is one of the. A new age of, this is when we saw WWE like, okay, this could be changing, because like that arena for Backlash.
Oh man, they need to go there every year.
Yeah, honestly, I just think even just the different sounds they make when everyone gets gassed, it was just Selena Vega. We cared about her for the first time, ever.
They were able to do those drone shots that I don't think they're allowed to do on like mainland America. So you got those great shots. I've watched that Bad Bunny entrance so many times. But yeah, you're right. Also, this WrestleMania, like, do we have anything more to say about the match itself in particular? Anything we haven't covered?
Yeah, like you guys talked about, like how the moves were sort of inconsequential. There are a couple of exceptions, I think. Three, specifically for me. Ray spanking Dom. The crowd reaction is amazing.
Is that a move? Is a spanking a move, Simon?
I'm counting it.
Well, we don't need to know what you...
Slim ish pickings in this match, so you can take it. We'll take that.
Exactly. Put it this way. I don't count it in Cody versus Dustin. I am counting it in this, and that speaks volumes, I think. You've got Dominic hitting the Three Amigos and doing it in such a haphazard, slow manner that it doesn't work, but that makes it work more. I don't know how to word it. It's like a flip face buster where he flings Mysterio into the bottom turnbuckle and the crowd are like, oh God, he's actually going to do it, man.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that hit the buckle it was meant to hit. I wasn't sure about one entirely, but it worked.
It looks solid. Hopefully it wasn't like one of those ones where he actually fucked up his face. But I think with the Three Amigos, it was like the energy of I don't know if you have this year, but like, if you're bigger than your dad, you always look at him like, I can have you. You can always look at him like, you keep talking like, one day, I'm gonna deck you. And I think it's just a microcosm of like the whole of the lead up to the match and the so on and so forth. Like, it was just listen, old man strength still works.
Yeah.
And I've got mates. Everyone loves me. Yeah.
If they'd made it work, that'd have been hilarious. Like one day Dom's like getting the kicks in on Ray, and then Batista's music hits and you just see Dom absolutely crap himself.
Ray is one of those guys like Sting. If you ever need to get this guy as a heel or do a heel turn, just have him attack Ray. I mean, that one where he just says, and that was always the thing I loved about Batista. He always knew when to yell and when not to yell. And him just saying very matter-of-factly to Ray, I'm going to rip your head off. And you know he's going to do it.
What you said is true, because remember, the only time I cared when Big Show turned was when he did it to Ray, and he swung him off, but when he swung him under,
That's literally how Jason killed someone in one of the Friday the 13th. But yeah, just to
the
get
the trouble
lasting...
is with the Big Show one is they tried to repeat it to make Floyd Mayweather a face and it just didn't work. Yeah, and we're like, all right, you're picking on Ray, but Floyd is an ass. Like,
and they
just an ass.
And they tried to make Floyd the babyface by having him be mates with Ray, but not even again. It was one of those ones like Daniel Bryan, not even being Ray's mate is not. You know, you got that person that no one likes, but he's mates with the guy that everyone likes. That was what was like on the indie scene. That was kind of always the Kevin Steen and El Generico tag team was like El Generico. Everyone likes, so they will tolerate his dickhead friend. that's kind of where they go. But yeah,
was that sort of Lex Luger and Sting as well? Like,
sort
Sting's
of,
great.
But yeah, Eddie Guerrero, just to get onto that, that's the last thing, and obviously they allude to it. I wish I was Eddie's dad and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
But has there been a wrestler that has been so consistently referenced and homaged since their death more than Eddie Guerrero? Like, you know, so many people have done the Three Amigos, and they did it. They had Logan Paul do it the WrestleMania before then, obviously not as an homage. But, you know, it's like Zelina will do it, like one of Sasha Banks' WrestleMania. She was wearing Eddie tribute gear. Every show seems to do a version of the Eddie hitting the steel chair on the mat and then throwing it into someone's hand.
Even Eddie's song came out at the start Ray's entrance.
Having Snoop Dogg there always.
Yeah. Snoop's is always about. Snoop's another one. Snoop is like the Rey Mysterio of hip hop. Like, no one has any problems with Snoop Dogg. Like, you see Snoop Dogg in a Romanian like folk song like thing, you're like,
Snoop Dogg is
why is Snoop on Just Eat? That's Snoop.
Yeah, it's just Snoop.
Snoop can like be hanging, like his diary must be crazy. On Tuesday you're hanging out with Willie Nelson. Wednesday you're going over to see Martha Stewart. Thursday it's a concert with Dr. Dre, and Friday you're doing something with the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Yep, sounds about right.
Saturday night, gonna drive Rey Mysterio out to beat out his son.
Yeah. With your own WWE belt as well.
Sunday, Toby Carvery. And you'd believe it.
And Tuesday, AEW Dynamite. Yeah, why not?
I'll shitly jump through a table.
Wait a minute. Is this the WrestleMania where Snoop saves the next night?
He improvised.
I'm just thinking about it. Yeah, Snoop's improvisation just saved that whole moment with Shane getting injured.
It's kind of I do wonder when the Eddie tributes will stop. Like, it's crazy. He's been gone for like 90. I think it's also maybe because he's so linked with Benoit, and it's like, if we're going to have to be dealing with that tragedy, it's like makes his more, like, if we can tribute him, then it's like, you know, we can forget about it.
Lately, Benoit's been coming up like that. He's in canon. They're putting little sprinkles of him because he is an integral part.
Yeah,
like, it's very sad. Like what happened.
Yeah,
do not get it twisted. Like it's like the most terrible thing. Like, and it's frustrating for me personally because like I love Benoit as well. Mm. Like as like a wrestler in the sense. So like what happened was even like deeply heartbreaking. Like and thoughts and prayers to everyone. But it is so true when it comes with the idea of with Eddie.
Yes.
They were linked, like they were like the guys. We remember WrestleMania 20. That's like the shot.
Oh my god, like, I love that moment. I love them both.
The shot.
Let's get a bit more into the event itself. The interesting thing, Simon, you revealed to me that other than this match and the two matches that, because we do a thing here where we talk about every match that Dave Meltzer's given 5 stars or higher. Meltzer wouldn't give WWE matches 5 stars for like decades, literal decades. And at this event, he gave two of them. He gave the Gunther Sheamus Drew McIntyre match 5 stars, and he gave the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens Usos match 5 stars as well. And yeah, this whole event, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what makes this a great event, but this event, it's kind of, it was almost like, because how it then ended with the Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes thing, and then you finding out Vince is back.
Yeah.
It's like one last power play. So it was almost like these 2 days, and like you're saying, this great match, and like, this was a great match. The Rhea Ripley Charlotte Flair match, which we didn't cover for that. That was my favorite match of the two nights. I think that might be my favorite women's match in WWE history. Sasha Banks Bianca Belair at WrestleMania 37 a couple of years earlier will be up there as well.
The little cry at the start.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah, brilliant. But, yeah.
But like this whole show, it was almost like what could be without Vince, and then suddenly it was like the horrible and it was all a dream moment, like the nightmare became a reality. Now, subsequent to that, I guess we're getting that build up again, but WrestleMania 39 really felt like WWE doing what they did best and them doing it without Vince having to sabotage it. You know, like this storyline was so perfectly built over these months. The Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Uso storyline, the Sami and Jey Uso relationship was so well built up. Gunther's having this amazing reign with these brilliant matches. Sheamus is as over as he's ever been. And just like, I mean, Simon, do you want to break down the whole card? Like the match quality across the
board. My question is with that, like trying to like add on to that is, maybe what also made the wrestling so good was the idea of, is he coming back? Because that was another storyline. We had so we had like our storylines, but we also had like a deeper level storyline that's going through the
business. Is this the only time we're getting this?
like secretly, obviously they're probably going to scrap doing a TV series on Vince because of what everything has happened now.
Yeah.
But if they were going to do like a HBO thing of wrestling, this would be such a juicy time for them to be like,
because I'm surprised you said just before we were recording you haven't actually watched it all yet. Was it just you were something was happening in your life at that point without going into too much detail, or just you missed it? Because I do think this, you can argue that this is maybe the best WrestleMania, one of the best WrestleManias at least of all time, top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Quality of storylines, payoffs, and match quality.
They gave us almost everything.
Even the four-way tag match was like this like low-key, awesome sprint of a match. But
I don't think he was in it.
No. But Simon, if you want to just quickly give the match results to people, if they just need a little reminding of something that happened literally less than a year ago.
Yeah. Now, you're in a bit of an awkward position, to be honest, Lorcan, because you've hyped up the WrestleMania match card, but the first match on night one was Austin Theory beating John Cena retain the US title.
Yeah.
And I've not seen it, but I've heard the discourse that John just didn't fancy Austin at all.
I feel like not
for him.
Either that, or he just had a high insurance claim that would have been called if he'd got injured for his next shoot or something.
You can't fuck up the Peacemaker. You can go and do some little craps. Remember, you're making real money now. Like,
you can do that Barbie movie cameo because that's just waving. But you know, we need you for that fight scene.
Ricky Stenicki really needs you. I've not seen it yet. Next, we have the four-way tag match where the Street Profits defeat Braun Strowman and Ricochet. I forgot about that team. Alpha Academy and the Viking Raiders, as mentioned in the lovely X to My Y. We've got Seth Rollins defeating Logan Paul with KSI. I do remember this at the time because KSI turned up at WrestleMania and it was the weekend that that countdown sketch came out where he dropped the P word.
Oh man.
And it's like, of all the times you've hitched your horse to that wagon.
I guess I don't think that word really has a place in American lexicon, so maybe you thought that I'll lay low here for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll disguise myself. Oh, that's another thing in this match, cinnamon crunchy roll costume. We're in the days of the endorsements. That's what Nick Khan's brought in, I will say that. It's kind of so silly, it's kind of acceptable, but he's still... Rey Mysterio's name was done in cinnamon crunchy roll font. So really taking this father v son match very seriously.
Yeah. Help her. This is meant to be a blood feud sponsored by Cinnamon Crunch.
Looks like the big the New Day's entrance with the Bootios at WrestleMania 32 was foreshadowing.
What do you think? What do you think the Usos are going to be sponsored by when they come?
Oh, oh man.
I want it to be something really crap, like Geico insurance.
You'd like to think it was like...
I want that gecko just there, like, waving.
You'd like to think it would be, like, some sort of sneaker deal or something, because they're so into that sort of stuff. But yeah, you're right, it will be, like, Pop-Tarts or something.
Jake from State Farm is special guest ref.
Back in the day, the best sponsorship they could get was Chef Boyardee. It is kind of crazy where they've got to now.
Going back to it, Trish, Lita, and Becky Lynch defeat Damage Control. Then you've got this match, Rey defeating Dom. Rhea Ripley defeats Charlotte afterwards.
It's the match right after it, yeah. So no wonder she didn't come out. That would have been annoying.
The semi-main for night one is Pat McAfee pinning The Miz.
Because it's second to last does not make it the semi-main.
Nope.
when he vaulted onto that top rope, though, everyone was like, oh! But that's the thing with the new WWE now, which we're kind of respecting. Like, none of the celebrities are like dickheads. Like, the last three people that they've got have actually been able to find a way to work in the ring.
Yeah. Tyson Fury was the last bad one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were the ones that...
Yeah. He's just awkward at everything. Like, apart from boxing, and he does it bare awkward anyway,
Well, he does that. At least he does that somewhat on purpose.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the ones that grew up on it now. Like I said, because WWE is part of the pop culture furniture now. It's not like an outsider thing. So even if Logan Paul... I don't think Logan Paul's the biggest wrestling fan in the world, but I think he gets it. And the persona he's crafted fits a heel wrestler so well. And he's had a couple of moments where it's obvious that they've kind of tried to politic him for being a babyface, like when he was doing the stuff with The Miz. But when they realised, look, there's no way they're ever going to cheer you. He has just fully embraced it and gone with it. I don't know how I feel about the Prime sponsorship. I'm not fussed one way or the other. But it will start to feel weird seeing more and more of those sponsors on the mat that we've never really seen at WWE until...
Yeah. No. I mean, it's been a thing in boxing for years.
Yeah. New Japan were doing it back in the 90s, so you can't really have a go. You know, you sell out, Vince.
Was it Cracker Barrel a sponsor for WCW back in the day?
There's the Cracker Barrel All-In match as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Triple Threat Hardcore thing with Joey Janela. I can't remember the other guys, but Joey Janela was definitely in it.
Doesn't Scott Steiner own a few franchises of like Cracker Barrel or Applebee's or something?
That would not surprise me. That's the kind of thing Scott Steiner would have going on in his life.
Can you imagine that? I demand to speak to your manager. Scott Steiner comes out. What a fine establishment you run here, sir.
Are you insulting my freaks?
Him having a go at their maths for the tip. Yeah. Now if you take your 12-point fab shit...
But sir, here's my wallet. Just have it. I'm sorry.
And then Rick just crawls underneath him for no reason.
Yeah. Where have you been, bro?
I've been going into the lady, making sure. Shut up, Rick. Shut up. Yeah, shut up.
No. Too much. Bring Chucky back.
Main event of night one, to bring it vaguely back on track, is Kevin and Sammy defeating the Usos for the tag team titles.
Like, okay, they got to finish their story. Like, not the way we wanted the story to really finish.
Go on. You were Money in the Bank, weren't you? Were you one of the ones that? Yeah. So you got to see them win that match, that tag team match as well, and such a great. Like, from them being the big bad guys at that event to this one and the payoff and Jay being the first one to pin Roman. Like I said, the storytelling that they're doing right now, you can argue WWE is as good and as big as it's ever been since, like, the Attitude Era, I think. Mm. And that's not to say I love it all, but I've always accepted WWE for what it is. And for what it's trying to be, this is as good as they've been. And what a weird coincidence. It all happened when a certain bloke wasn't involved anymore.
The biggest thing about WWE now is they're respecting you for watching it.
Mm. Yes,
like
absolutely.
It felt like before, the mentality was like, I can miss a week, 2 weeks, put it on, you're going to tell me anyway what happened.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? Like, it wasn't Raw, like pretty much half of it was adverts. Not adverts, half of it was replay from last week. And we're like, what are we doing here? Like,
and SmackDown was replays of that.
Oh, well, yeah. So now, like, it's like, if you miss an episode, you're like, oh, like, we kind of need to go watch this.
But also, they reward you for being a fan, as you say, like, these little historical nods, like, Dom saying, I wish I'd been Eddie's kid. Or all of the stuff that's happened with the Usos and, like, Sami Zayn. And allowing Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, like, on their apparel when they came out, they were wearing, like, little PWG references. Because they were literally doing a show, like, 30 minutes down the road in a little armory. And here they are, main eventing night one in front of 80,000 people and earning it, you know, earning it, being there. And the Usos, who've been like pre-match guys all the time, they couldn't get onto the WrestleMania card to save their life.
I did make this point in the episode we did, but from them both having, look, Sami Zayn had the Knoxville match and he earned his stripes in that match.
Yeah.
Kevin had Steve Austin, which was different because obviously Steve is a much better wrestler than Johnny Knoxville will ever be.
Yeah.
What a shock. But it was Steve in his first match for years. Do you know what I mean?
All right. We're
so I think they both got paid off for that. they both earned this spot at the previous year.
All right. We're on to night two, Simon.
Now, as Ibs already alluded to, we almost got everything we wanted.
Yes.
But unfortunately, Brock does pin Omos here. We've got Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler defeating Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Natalya and Shotzi, when Natalya hangs out with someone. And Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville in a four-way match. Like, That's that team of Natalya and Shotzi is just, Natalya just gets paired with a random woman and there's never a story.
We're on 19.
We're actually about to go straight into a Dave Meltzer five star match. It's Gunther defeating Sheamus and Drew by pinfall. I loved this match.
Yeah.
I did love this match, but like I said, Rhea versus Charlotte I thought was the best of all the matches on the card.
Mm.
Like, this would be right. But again, that sign, there are two matches that we can talk for in the five-star scale, and I thought there was an even better one. It just shows you how much quality there was. And like you said, maybe it was like, well, Vince is back. We can't have these good matches anymore. So let's all have the very best match we can have.
And there was a weird intangible just having Titus O'Neil on commentary, but he just delivered so much.
I think they should get him involved. I think, what is Titus is just an ambassador now. May he continue that. But like, I think there's a place for him.
I mean, he lives in WrestleMania history as being the reaction guy after Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just one of those people that's too good for the wrestling industry, I think, really.
Yeah.
Too nice a human being, unfortunately, I think. We've got Bianca defeating Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. Then Snoop Dogg pins The Miz.
Yeah,
I think that's such a perfect Shane McMahon way for his whole run in wrestling to end. His dad comes back, he knows he's not going to inherit the company, and he comes out to have one of his matches, and he ends up tearing his quad. Like, the ultimate McMahon injury off of a leapfrog. And again, because he took so much of his iconography from hip-hop and everything, and then just Snoop Dogg comes in and does a shitty people's elbow and gets all the glory.
But I know he didn't intend to do it. No, actually, no. Snoop knew what he was doing. He knew full well what he was doing there.
Maybe Snoop told Shane to do the leapfrog. Maybe he was there.
He's looking for the master plan.
Yeah.
Levels on levels. But also, Miz having to take that and be pinned. Former WrestleMania headliner pinned off of a Snoop Dogg people's elbow.
He went 0-2 across both nights, so he's got that on it. I think he might be I haven't looked if he's the first, but it sounds like a Miz thing to be. Mm. We've got Edge defeating Finn in Hell in a Cell.
That was the big disappointment of the two nights.
Well, I think that was meant to go much longer, but there was the blood stoppage changed the dynamic of the match. And then you've got Roman breaking all of our hearts and the rubber chicken invading the ring.
But it's like, almost, if he gets the win at WrestleMania 40, will it have been worth it? This wasn't the intention, but will it have been worth it? And they got finished the story, and that's like how they're marketing all their fucking computer games on now. So it's like, it's not what was meant along the way, or like how the streak wasn't meant to be a thing until it became a thing. And like I said, like, we still don't know that he'll win. The fact that they did it.
Same.
We'll always bring that doubt.
If the story doesn't finish at WrestleMania.
Well, someone pointed out that, like
genuinely.
If they do the show in Berlin and Roman Reigns is still champ, I think it's like he's a week off of breaking Hulk Hogan's record. And who could you put him in that match with in Germany?
Oh my God. Yes. No, 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 because there's one too many times. Actually, there's way too many. There's too many times now where they've sailed too close to the wind with Gunther's and Nazi stuff. The fact that they had to drop the Stark from his name after they found out that was a U-boat captain. The whole banner thing with Gunther. That was...
Well, I always thought it was very wise of Gunther's imagery to be like Prussian, like pre-World War.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to go even beyond that to make it work, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always
German,
it's always a
Republic.
Risk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, he's not German, he's Austrian. That's even worse.
I'm terrified of Damien Priest cashing in on Raw after Mania.
That's another way that like,
no, I'm not surprised. That's classic WWE. We're not surprised by that.
The money's in the chase.
Yeah.
To be fair, I do think that obviously Cody Rhodes is not gonna, if he does win the title, he's not gonna have as long a reign as Roman did. But it would also fit with the Dusty thing, because Dusty is like a 3-time world champion, but I think his combined reign of those three titles is like 18 days or something. So it would
Foley's
fit.
Foley's the same, isn't he? Three reigns, 29 days.
Yeah. But it's, and Triple H loves those long title reigns, but they've always been heels.
If Damien cashes in, I want him to cash in on Seth. I don't want him to have no business.
It won't be Seth he cashes in on. Drew.
Could be Drew.
No,
could be Drew.
This set place where Drew is in, yeah, where like he's bitter, but he's still like getting the L's, and the L's are kind of not his fault. Mm. It's like, I support Spurs, and I'm like, I feel this, bro. I feel this so deeply for you.
I'll tell you
bro.
What, though. I'm not
mad at you, like, ever.
I'm a Villa fan.
That explains so much why you, like, smiled when you said the money's in the chase. Right there it is. Right.
But let's get to our dreams in the WrestleMania realm. Ibs. Okay. Do you, because you're like, out of everyone that I've corresponded with, you were the one that was like, so do I have to do this? That, like, you wanted to know the rules more deeply than anyone. Because, like, Danny, what was Danny's match
Danny,
at the end?
Danny, I think Danny forgot.
Yeah.
And Danny just made it up on the spot. Danny's a mood.
He wanted that, WrestleMania. That yeah.
Danny.
I think he wanted a six man tag at WrestleMania 40 between Hornswoggle, Ric Flair, Omos. Against Will Ospreay, Awesome Kong, and someone else.
Yep.
And I'm saying, you know what? I think all of them would be up for it.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, do you have a match for us, Ibs? Or have we just stolen your thunder there with that one?
Damn, Danny's got me. I feel like before it was official, I was like, if they don't do Jimmy or Jay, that's what I'm going to say on this podcast, yeah.
Mm.
But with a sprinkle of Rikishi, he has to be somewhere. He has to be in the building. Yeah. He has to be somewhere, anywhere. Like, we've got to have a shot of Rikishi looking a bit stressed. If we don't get that on like WrestleMania night one or night two, I'll be very disappointed.
Oh, they're both going to do a stink face, aren't they?
Yeah. Or loser gets stink face by
there
Rikishi.
We go. If Vince was still in charge, that would be added to the stipulation.
Not only has your brother beaten you, but you now have to smell your dad's ass in front of 80,000 people. That is Vince.
That is a sentence that can only happen in a wrestling podcast, can't it? But Ibs, so we've got your dream match already, but now like a second choice, do you have? Okay, any WrestleMania, no time travel, but any WrestleMania is what you can
Any WrestleMania.
So, for example, mine for WrestleMania would have been WrestleMania 30, Undertaker versus John Cena, because I thought it's crazy we never got John Cena trying to break the streak.
Mm.
And the knock-on effects for that was that Bray Wyatt would then be involved in a six-man tag against The Shield, like an anything-goes kind of brawl instead. And Brock Lesnar would have taken on Batista. So those were like my butterfly effects.
I think I ripped out... I changed history a bit. I made it so Stone Cold fought Hulk Hogan. I think, did I put it at 19?
Yeah, I think you said 19, yeah. Instead, yeah. And instead we got Vince versus Hollywood Rock, which would have been fascinating.
Because he's like, Lorcan was like, are you sure you want that? And I was like, no. Actually, yes. Yes, I do.
So I had like a few ideas popping in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I might get the dates wrong, but you know the lead up to, like, the way the Nexus ended with John Cena?
Yeah.
Mm. And I think they could have had a storyline where John Cena was taking shit for months. We build Wade Barrett as this man, and John Cena finally breaks through all the Nexus and winning at that WrestleMania.
Mm.
That would have been brilliant. It would have won. Everyone would have got some sort of shine towards this.
Yeah.
We could have got other wrestlers trying to be like, you know what, I hate John Cena, but obviously, I don't like the way they're treating him. That's how they get their little rub. They get beaten up. We never, like, the Nexus never got their chance.
No.
Like, and maybe, obviously, John was, like, which really disappoints me, because I know I thought John Cena was a politicker sort of guy.
Yeah.
And when you hear about it, you're like, oh, you, not you, John.
Yeah, I don't usually give, I never got that angry about John Cena's run as the champ, because I always knew WWE was always about the babyface champion. That's what it had always been. Because that's not what I wanted at that point, I went elsewhere. I was annoyed at the fans who stuck around and booed him. And I thought, John Cena's just doing what Hulk Hogan, Austin, all of them did. It's not his fault. That's how Vince likes it. And he's a good enough wrestler. But I agree with you. The Nexus storyline, they completely screwed it up. Like, him winning that match at SummerSlam, and apparently him, like, saying, I want to take a DDT on the outside and then come back and everything. That, yeah, like, they could have done, like, a mini version of the Roman Reigns storyline of Wade Barrett winning the belts, claiming that this was for the good of the whole Nexus, but then just using them all for his means. And then at that, what would that have been, WrestleMania 27,
I want to say? Something like.
Yeah, and God knows that WrestleMania needed, you know, WrestleMania 26 or WrestleMania 27, that would have been.
And it would have been like, it would have been nice to see him go through every single wrestler leading up to WrestleMania, like, oh, you fight Sheffield or whatever his name was. David Ozonga.
Skip Sheffield. What a name.
McGillicuddy. Was it McGillicuddy in it as well?
Michael McGillicuddy,
second version. He wasn't in the original one, but he did take join when they, like, got rid of, was it Michael Tarver was the guy they got rid of, and Daniel Bryan? You could have done it.
And we could have slowly...
Husky Harris.
We could have had it, and we could have had it like he loses to one match to Husky Harris. Like, he loses a few matches. It's like, no, you know what the levels are. You've got to beat every single person in the Nexus.
Oh, so he's
got
to go back to the start again.
Yeah,
that would have been
fun. So he has to get a tag team match or a six-man tag match. Or maybe... he has to beat them all in the chamber in order for him to get his shot at the Mania.
Chamber's him and five.
That would have been fascinating. Like, he has to start out with...
Like, there was legs to it.
Sod the five. Sod the five. It's him, four of them, Santino. It was like he had an ally, but it's Santino.
And he was just... like, the whole time he's getting, like...
and you could have him come out, like... last. he poses, and then, like, the strongest henchman just does him straight away, and John's starting a 2-on-1.
They look at him, he looks at the he looks at the Nexus with the snake, he looks at the snake, and then he fucks off.
or he looks at the snake and then just snake bites himself. I don't know, guys, we've got to start our own promotion. Danny Scott, we've got some of the finest booking minds.
silly bollocks wrestling. That's the name. Book it. Bollocks.
Trademark that name tonight.
Oh, I'm getting on it. It's butterfly effect time. You've basically taken John Cena away from the Miz at WrestleMania 27.
I think we can.
Who's the Miz facing for the title?
Oh.
You want Miz Rock at WrestleMania 27?
You know what? If I was the Rock after Miz came out with his suspicious tan and his bald cap, I'd want to beat him up if I was the Rock.
Oh, imagine if they made that the angle. Like, no, you know what you did.
Yeah, bro. I didn't have to do promo. Yeah. If you smell what the Rock is cooking, and then literally
Rock comes to the ring flanked by members of the NAACP.
And then Farouk comes out and he buries the hatchet with Farouk live in Canada.
Yes.
See what you did. You know what? Hold on. Here's the watch. Boom.
That'd be it.
Well, keep your eyes open for the announcement of our first show. But this has been awesome. This has been awesome. I shouldn't have said that one. Suggests I'm on one person's side there. This has been brilliant. Ibs, thank you so much for doing this. This was sure how Danny would follow up, but we've got another worthy episode. Obviously, we've recorded this out of order, but Sakiza's will be on the episode before this as well. Yeah. So Wrestle Club's been very well represented. It's a great podcast. You guys are doing great work together. If people want to get in follow yourself on the social medias and everything, how can they do so?
Okay, so follow the Wrestle Club podcast on Instagram. If you want to find me, it's IBS_ S-E-S-A-Y.
Right.
On Instagram. Or I'm trying to work a thing where if you type in fair trade cocoa beans in my into Instagram, I'll pop up. So try that and see if that works. Yeah, man, and I'll be doing gigs all over the gaff. So, yeah, let me know.
Simon, if people want to get in touch with you with recommendations of other matches involving spankings, how can they do so?
People can get in touch with me on Twitter. I'm signing as Simon Cross Free. Free for the number of letters in NAACP that aren't A. Let's go.
My name's Lorcan Mullen. That's LORCANMULLA for the A in alimony, N for the N in no contest verdict. That's my Twitter handle, Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd. If you put in our gmail.com at the end of it, that's my email address. Get in touch with the show at lmtyspod@gmail.com. lmtyspod is also our Twitter and Facebook handles. Thanks again for that, Ives. But there's nothing left to say at this point except that my name's Lorcan Mullen.
My name's Simon Cross.
Thank you for letting us tell you something, and I hope you've enjoyed this very manic March Mania. I can't get it out of my head. Zero. You tried your best with me, I know.